Blessed morning to you guys, Cap.
Blessed morning back at you, dog.
Captain Haw.
Big news is Brad Biggs, the first to report that the Bears are indeed exploring trade possibilities
hold on.
Brandon Marshall.
Yes, if you want to make a trade, I can make that happen right now. Okay.
And it looks like Inside the NFL Showtime is talking to HBO about a trade for Brandon Marshall's show.
This is a good deal. This is a good deal for both of us.
They want to trade him for Armin Katayan.
Yeah, they're offering two free passwords to get Showtime on the go for the rights to Brandon Marshall.
No word yet how Boomer or Phil Sims feels about this.
I quit.
Did we get Greg Gumbel on the line?
Once a Duhawk, always a Duhawk. I'm Greg Gumbel.
I would like Brandon Marshall, the analyst, to break down the trade possibilities of Brandon Marshall, the receiver.
Yeah, so that's a tough question how I answer this one. I don't win answering that one.
I would like Brandon Marshall to say, Brandon, David Kaplan, Comcast Sports at WGN Radio. What do you think of the game show that's going on the air called That's Whack, Bro? I would love to hear what he had to say.
It's whack to me.
I think That's Whack, Bro really bothers him. The fact that we made a game show out of it.
It's whack, bro. It's whack.
From the seventh floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
Downtown Chicago.
Chicago! Baltic Stone scores! Beauty!
Come on, sucker.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Let's get it on.
It's the Cap and Haw Show.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going to ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yeah!
Good morning. Welcome in to Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus. Alongside David Haw, lead columnist of the Chicago Tribune. I'm David Kaplan. Mark Carmen is in for Brooke, who is off doing more college basketball. It's her busiest month of the year. She'll be back with us sometime next week. And Mikey Jacobson, our great executive producer, Matt Rooney, our associate producer, and Pat Costello, our director. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well, Cap. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
A nice open there about the Brandon Marshall issue. We will certainly
dive into
with both feet. But there are more important things to talk about.
Yeah, like beating Russell Westbrook in the Thunder last night.
With the emphasis on more.
Yeah, no question. Twan, my guy.
Twan's my guy. I'm claiming him. That was.
You guys are region guys.
What a fun game that was to watch. And what a great moment for Etwan Moore, a guy who has just quietly bided his time and was relied upon last night, said, okay, we need somebody to try to get in the way of the guy making the charge for the MVP, a guy who's playing at a historically high level in Russell Westbrook. So, Etwan, we want you to try to stop him. Or at least get in the way. And by the way, if you can add some offense fearlessly, that'd be okay too. 19 points, 3-point shot to win it. What a memory. What a game. How much fun are the Bulls to watch when they play like that? That was the most I know they've had other victories that have probably meant more, that have probably been more complete, less flawed. I don't know that there's been a more satisfying Bulls game to watch this year.
Coming from 16 down against a really good team, although they didn't have Kevin Durant, but Russell Westbrook is just playing otherworldly. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Men against boys.
He's so violent in the way he attacks the rim. It's just unbelievable.
With authority.
But last night, Nikola Mirotic did not shoot the ball well. But he does so many other things. He was, 14 of 16 at the line?
He's getting fouled.
He gets fouled. He attacks. He's aggressive. You could tell that having gone through the baptism under Tom Thibodeau, where he doesn't know if he's going to play one night, he gets chastised for poor defense, he is emerging through that a tougher, better player.
I also think you're seeing, Cap, the product of the experience about playing against professionals. This is not a guy who's coming from the SEC or the ACC or the Big East, and then all of a sudden it takes him half of a season to adjust to playing NBA players. This is a guy that played in the Spanish professional league against other pros in their 20s, in their early 30s, as a teenager, and he's not fazed by much. I agree with that. When you looked at the Bulls on the court last night when it mattered most, and you saw Aaron Brooks – and Etwan Moore is your backcourt. Mm-hmm. Mike Dunleavy and Nikola Mirotic as your forwards. And there's Pau Gasol Mr. Dependable. But you look at those five guys.
Joe Keane was getting a heavy run.
Yeah, there was situational substitutions there that when, you know, obviously Dibs went with the hot hand.
Dibs coached his tail off last night.
The last two games. They have now beaten, in successive games, they beat the Wizards and they beat the Thunder.
Outmanned.
At home, and they were outmanned. And I think that when you have seen what the Bulls have done the last two games, it reinforces just how good of a coach Tom Thibodeau is, but it also makes you wonder, and am I alone here, and I'm not picking on anybody. I really don't want this to come out the wrong way. But is it just me, or do the Bulls play harder when they don't have Derrick Rose there?
I think, A, they stand around a little bit watching him, waiting to see what he's going to do, and B, I don't know if the knee was bothering him for a long time. It just didn't look like he was in attack mode, and thus they weren't in attack mode. Now, it's just five guys in attack mode, whoever's on the court.
I think you get a sense of urgency, or you sense it, that maybe you didn't before. But I think that's the great thing about sports, Cap. I mean, really, it's not just, again, in this example, it's the Bulls and Derrick Rose. But you've seen it with other teams. Heck, you've seen it with the Blackhawks without Patrick Kane. There's a sense of increased focus when you know that you have to do more with less. And frankly, I wonder about the weight of expectations sometimes that they have on these teams, because really, what did people expect out of the Bulls without Derrick Rose? Not a whole lot.
Correct.
And it's amazing what happens when everybody comes together, when they're playing freely like that. You know, Etuan Moore had 19 points last night, shot 9 out of 10, and he played fearlessly because, frankly, he had nothing to lose. What was going to be the worst thing that happens to him?
You got to give a guy like that a ton of credit. After games, him and Tony Snell, when they weren't playing, they wouldn't be in the locker room. They'd be off wherever they were, lifting weights, shooting jump shots, getting a workout, and keeping himself ready. Opportunity comes, runs right through it. I mean, it's impressive.
He did, and I think that the Bulls, you know, they weren't playing a Thunder team that was fully manned either. Kevin Durant sitting there in a suit. They had their own injury issues. But the intensity that was lacking so often when Derrick Rose was around, when Jimmy Butler was around, you just sensed that this was a game they were committed to not losing. They were going to win this somehow. Find a way. I felt like I was watching the 2013 Bulls.
When it was in the late stages of the – oh, no, there must have been about 6 minutes left fourth quarter. I think it was 87-80, then it's 89-82, then it's 93-87, then it's 93-89, then Westbrook hits a ridiculous bank shot. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It looked like they were going to score and Westbrook was going to answer every single time. Then Serge Ibaka hits a big shot. And then all of a sudden, the Bulls kicked it into a second gear defensively, and that's what won that game.
That's what won the game, because they helped. There was an awareness there. The last play, even after Etuan Moore's heroics, the Thunder had a chance to win with the MVP, and Westbrook gets the ball, steps out of bounds, and that was a great decision. Again, defensively, they won this game because Joakim Noah jumps out the trap. Westbrook kind of forgets where he is, steps on the line, and game over. Also, I think the one thing that stood out to me was that the unselfishness that almost gets the best of them sometimes. I think Mirotić, they had a 3-on-1 and they blew it. Westbrook made a great play defensively. You're a little too unselfish there, but the unselfishness came back to benefit them on the out-of-bounds play. Pau Gasol immediately goes back to Etuan Moore. He was open. He probably sensed that he was going to be open, but that just tells you, instead of forcing something with the guy that really you want taking the shot at that time, you want the ball in
Gasol's hands. How many star players are going to be willing to throw it out to the three-point line to a guy who 3 weeks ago couldn't even sniff the court, and they're probably like, who are you again? What's your name?
Well, not many, Cap, but that's the beauty of what happened, is that Tom Thibodeau professed after the game to say, we see that all the time in practice. This is a guy that brings it in practice, so you trust him in those moments because they've seen him do it before. We're not privy to seeing all that. Maybe Etuan Moore is a guy that this doesn't surprise anybody who's on that roster, but it sure as heck surprised everybody in Chicago and everybody around the league. 19 points against the Thunder. He outdid DJ Augustine, who brought it last night.
Outstanding.
DJ Augustine was pretty good.
Also think they're doing a better job managing the minutes of Noah. Looks fresh.
They have to, though.
He looks good.
See, there you go. I just can't believe you just went there.
Why?
Because you guys are all Play them. They're NBA players. Don't need to monitor the minutes. They are doing a good job with Noah's minutes. I agree with you.
Well, Noah has a pre-existing condition, though, dude. It's different. You want to bubble wrap every guy.
Rose has a pre-existing condition. Do you agree they need to monitor him?
He hadn't played for 3 years. He needed to play and get the rust off.
Don't buzzkill, guys. No buzzkill, Carm.
Carm is the buzzkill.
How about no buzzkill this? They had one game where they had the malaise against the Hornets, right? Lost by 10. They get the Derrick Rose news. Going to be back in 4 weeks. The whole thing. They come out. They win a game against the Timberwolves. And really, their attitude from that point forward has been phenomenal.
Their attitude has been great. It's been the difference in preventing them from taking that dip and going the direction people feared they would go. All of this stuff that's going on, I mean, all of this controversy, injury, attention paid, you know, what's next. The Bulls have won 8 of the last 10 games. That's a pretty good stretch for this time of the year.
Pretty good.
Given what they have gone through.
With all the guys that are banged up and the guys that they're missing. 312-235-2525. I talked to a friend yesterday who was an NBA head coach. He's now in the college ranks. And he spent a long time in the NBA. I said, how good a coach is Tom Thibodeau? He said, let me just tell you, when you have to prepare to play one of his teams, you're exhausted. He said, they are so well prepared for what you do. He said, in his opinion, he goes, Pop has the titles. He goes, I got Thibs number two.
And that's why, even though everybody's sort of, you know, just sort of resigned to the fate that this is something bad is going to happen at the end of this year, they're going to part company, you've got to intervene, Jerry Reinsdorf. You've got to
find a way to make this work
happen, because this is a relationship that really does work for everybody.
All right, grab quick time out. Get to your calls. We've got Greg in Indiana, Jackson in Rockford, Mike in Chicago, Joe's in Hampton. They all want to talk Bulls basketball.
Etwan Moore.
We'll get to that.
Etwan.
Region guy. Got it done for us last night. One of my guys. 312-235-2525. I'm headed to the region today.
Drive safely.
You got it. Be right back.
It's Cap and Haw.
Dunleavy. Gasol. Moore for three. Call! City. Etwan Moore, a career high 19. A flamethrower from outside.
What did you think when Moore's shot went in?
The gods were with us.
thank you, TNT. Kevin Harlan.
A flamethrower.
Kevin Harlan's outstanding.
He's outstanding.
Love the passion in his voice.
You know, Steve Smith was
Kevin
better
Hall
than I expected.
Continues.
Yeah, you know, Steve Smith alongside him was pretty good.
Yeah, did a nice job. Very nice job. And Craig Sager, welcome back.
Yeah.
God bless you. Hope you stay healthy and good to have you back.
Bulls
did
a nice job of recognizing Craig Sager, local guy with some local ties, Northwestern grad, and Benny the Bull nicely presented Craig Sager.
Your guy.
My guy. Benny the Bull was did a nice thing last night, giving him the jacket, Craig Sager.
I liked the jacket that Craig was wearing. I thought that was cool.
Nice gesture.
Always,
all the way around, Bulls handled it well.
I kind of wonder what's going on behind the scenes. All these guys love Craig so much. It's incredible.
Kobe tweeting about him yesterday.
How about during the first quarter, second quarter break when Thibs was talking to Craig Sager? He asked him, Sager asked him a question about the game. And Thibs is like, forget about the game. Welcome back.
Yeah,
he got Tom Thibodeau to break character in the middle of a game. He's like,
good.
Welcome back.
The most beloved sideline guy ever. How did he do it, Sager? Former Willie Wildcat.
I just think people appreciate the fact
he was Willie the Wildcat.
Yeah, he's sincere with them. He doesn't take himself too seriously, and he's good for the game because he's eccentric.
He's a
colorful,
personality.
Literally, yeah, he's a personality.
Greg is a region guy. He joins us now. Hey, Greg, welcome from Indiana. What's going
What's
on,
up,
there,
Greg?
Sparky?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
How are you?
I don't understand how come you guys are singing Thibodeau's praise when he hasn't won anything.
Oh, Greg, because he's done more with less. He's a tactically sound coach. He does everything that you want to in a head coach. You don't always just measure a coach by how many championships they win.
So when they fire Lovie Smith for being 10-6,
you can't compare.
Okay.
No one ever compared. Well, hold on, Greg. No one ever said Lovie Smith was one of the
ridiculous
elite coaches in the NFL. Tom Thibodeau, you talk to anybody in the NBA, they said, yeah, Popovich is number one. Number two is Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, all he's good at is driving his players. The best thing that happened to him is injuries.
No, Greg, you're not watching. Pay attention.
Guy wins two of every three games, Greg.
I'm sorry. Thanks for calling, but that's just not – it's a non-starter.
Call. Silly.
You don't have to like the way that Tom Thibodeau approaches, you know, the minutes with – Derrick Rose or Joakim Noah, if you want to have, but you cannot sit there and disqualify him as one of the best coaches in the NBA because he's got the track record to prove it.
No question.
It's just nonsense.
All right, let's go back to the phones. And Mike in Chicago's next. Hey, Mike, what's going on there, Slappy?
Hey, Mike.
Good morning, fellas. The legend of Etuan Moore continues.
Please let it continue.
it continues. Yeah. Guys, I'm a long-time full season ticket holder, and I'm just irate at Jerry Reinsdorf. How do we have eight out of ten victories, right, including last night, which was a hell of a game? How do we have a coach and a GM who don't get along, and Jerry Reinsdorf, who's supposedly a savvy business person, doesn't get these two employees in a room and says, Tom, you're doing a great job. Laura, you're doing a great job. Let's figure this out.
How do you know that he hasn't already tried that?
Has he?
Well, I don't know, Mike, but you know what? We'll wait and see after the season because that's what it's going to have to take. And so before you conclude that you're irate at Reinsdorf for not getting it done and not making sure these guys can work together, certainly it's been rocky. Nobody's going to deny that. It's the term irreparable has been used. But okay. Cooler heads have to prevail, and I think Jerry Reinsdorf is savvy enough to realize his business is better with Tom Thibodeau, you know, running his basketball team than without him, and I think that's going to be, you know, that's what makes the summer interesting to watch. So, but before you, I reserve judgment.
Okay, can I just ask a follow-up question, and then I'll get out of your hair, guys? But given that the media cycle once you get a story started, it clearly has an effect within the fan base and could possibly impact negotiations down the road. Why doesn't he nip it in the bud? Why wait? I just don't understand that. I'll hang up and listen to your questions, and thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Mike. See you, bud.
It's tricky. I don't know that you want – he says it's affected negotiations. I don't know what that means, Cap. Here's what it hasn't affected. Winning. Okay. Have they won a championship? No. But to try to do anything that changes what's working for Tom Thibodeau is a very tricky balance to strike. You don't really want to meddle unless you have to. You really don't want to do anything if you sense that he is a very kind of idiosyncratic leader. And he is. That you want to tiptoe very carefully around the beast that is Tom Thibodeau, okay? Don't poke the bear.
Correct.
Because he's doing a great job.
Just let him do his job.
Let him do his job. Do your job.
By the way, how about this crazy stat of the day from SportsCenter? The Thunder are 2-7 when Russell Westbrook gets 38 or more. How about that?
That's very interesting.
2-7.
Jordan used to have those stats back in the day, not to compare the two, but sometimes when he would score a ton.
You can compare the two this week.
You can?
You can, because you look at what he's been able to do, Russell Westbrook, and Kobe, Jordan, Pete Maravich, Oscar Robertson. These are the kind of guys that put together the type of streaks that Russell Westbrook is on right now, which brings up the final sequence we were sort of debating during the break. And, Cap, there's been a suggestion by some people who, you know, work for the show that Russell Westbrook should not have been taking the last shot for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, whoever said that, wearing a Blackhawks ski hat in the other room.
How could you not?
Out of his mind.
How could you not have him with the ball in his hands?
The Jackal.
The Jackal. Mike Jacobson.
The Jackal.
Insane.
That's a little counter.
5 seconds left, and let's hand the ball 40 feet from the basket to Serge Ibaka or somebody like that.
They wouldn't be expecting it.
You want him to do something creative. You want him to do what he's done the last couple weeks.
Look, if Russell Westbrook catches that ball 2 inches into the court, he has a chance to turn, make a move, and hit a shot.
And if DJ Augustine is the one who puts his foot on the baseline to turn the ball over, you're asking yourself in Oklahoma City all day today and all last night.
Why aren't you getting a ball to the MVP in the league?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's all right. Scott Brooks just called and said, stay out of Thunder business. Also, We have a little bit of news from a very good source that I follow on Brandon Marshall, so we'll have that for you coming up in a couple minutes.
All right. Did he go to HBO yet?
He didn't, but he might be moving that direction.
NFL Network?
312-235-2525. Jerry is in I don't know where. Hey, Jerry, where are you calling from?
What's up, Jerry?
Buddy?
I'm from Roberts, Illinois.
Where the heck is Roberts, Illinois? I know the state. I've never heard of it.
South of Chicago. I called you guys in January and talked to you and told you Rose was a problem. He was not doing a good job. You and Hoff hoo-hooed me. I called later, about a month and a half later. Cap, you kind of agreed. I think now you can see what a good team is. Like, they've played together as a team and not looking for a superstar that can clang the ball off the rim.
Jerry, thank you very much for watching down there in Roberts. But I have to tell you, this is not a day to question whether the Bulls are better off without Derrick Rose. I made the comment, I think they play harder without Derrick Rose because they have to, and maybe they know they have to. But I'm not willing to say the Bulls are a better team without Derrick Rose, because when he is playing at the level he was playing at before the All-Star break,
title.
That's the only way they win the title.
Jerry, double dose Metamucil, my man.
Pardon?
Jerry, let's go double dose Metamucil. Relax, maybe have an old-fashioned tonight with dinner, and just enjoy the victory over Oklahoma City. Okay, my man?
I'm 81 years old, so I watched a lot of ball games and played a lot. So listen to me.
Jerry, I appreciate you watching.
Jerry, you're the man.
Thanks a lot.
See you, buddy.
Double dose
Metamucil. Clean out the system.
Relax. Where'd that come from?
Get ready for the Pacers
game. Mr. Colonoscopy over there.
When you were off on Wednesday, he was comparing – who'd you compare a Cutler to a colonoscopy?
Okay.
I said getting rid of Cutler. Uh-oh. It's like purging yourself.
Now we go Metamucil to Jerry.
All right, we got a little Brandon Marshall interesting news. I'll tell you what that is, and Mark has an update. It's Cap and Haw rolling on CSN. All right, 312-235-2525. It's the Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus. You're watching live every day on Comcast Sports Net. Reggie Wayne released by the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, you wonder if he's going to just retire now. What's he got
37
left?
Years of age.
Great career. And the Colts also, that underscores their need for a wide receiver.
Also, Aaron Lemming, who does great work for Bear Report. First guy to call Ryan Pace, being the Bears GM, just tweeted and said he expects, let me read it exactly, separate sources have confirmed that wide receiver Brandon Marshall will be traded to the Jets for a late-round pick, which should be announced on Tuesday.
That would be a gift. That would be a gift to the Bears. You could see it. The Jets have a lot of cap space. It would be a splashy signing and trade, and he could also maybe stay in Boomer's loft.
There you go.
Be a quick commute on Tuesdays.
Yeah, he and the Booms.
No private plane, just a car service.
Then it
Take
works.
Take me to inside the NFL.
Then it works.
It works for who?
For Brandon, for the Jets.
I suppose. There's also a connection with Todd Bowles, the new coach, the Bowles movement.
The
begins,
Bowles movement.
Yeah, with the Jets. They do have a history there, which would lead you to believe that the Jets might have a different perspective on Brandon Marshall, or less fear of him than maybe some coaches who have never dealt with him. Because Todd Bowles, I think, was the interim coach at the Dolphins when Brandon Marshall was a Dolphin. So you could see that making sense. What would they get in return? A fourth, a fifth, a third? My guess is that it would be, if it's this open of a discussion over his, you know, trade potential, you're not going to get much higher than a fifth. Or you're likely to have to settle for that.
Also, one name rumored to be on the Bears shopping list at wide receiver, Marcus Colston, has decided to stay in New Orleans.
Wouldn't
a restructured
you?
Deal.
Wouldn't you?
Let's see. I go to Chicago, cold, cutty. I'm not sure how good they're going to be. Or Drew Brees, the Dome. Yeah, I'm good.
I don't care what these guys get on the Wonderlic. No receiver is that dumb.
No way.
I mean, really. Drew Brees, Jay Cutler. Outdoors in Chicago, indoors in New Orleans.
Crazy.
I understand every former Saint is going to be linked to the Bears because of Ryan Pace. But Pierre Thomas, great career, wonderful local story. Fighting Illini have still a lot of pride in the Pierre Thomas. 30-year-old running backs aren't guys that you'd necessarily want to say, come on down, if you're rebuilding a football
team. Not 30-year-old running backs that haven't even been that good when they were
He's pretty good, serviceable.
He's solid, yeah. I'm not talking about, you know, Adrian Peterson-level ability here. Okay.
Yeah, I think that I would be very cautious to, you know, how many former Saints you want to, you know, how many former Saints does it take to screw in a light bulb? You don't need more than a couple. Now, if you want to bring Drew Brees on to Chicago, that's a different story. Marcus Colston, I understand why he's staying.
Also, another interesting report last night is that, yes, Adrian Peterson has definite interest in the Tampa Bay Bucks. So does Greg Hardy.
Well, you can see, I don't have any question in my mind that Lovie Smith would say, come one, come all, I can make you stay out of trouble. I can make you better. That's his philosophy to life. And to some degrees, it's commendable. There's a lot to respect about a guy that feels like everybody starts with him fresh, right?
Right.
I don't know that everybody has that quality. I don't think I do. I think that I would have some real reservations as a football coach saying to Greg Hardy, I'm going to forget everything you did just as long as you play on Sunday and you're a good citizen for me.
You're also the kind of guy, correct me if I'm wrong, that if you became an attorney and somebody came to you accused of a horrific crime that you thought they were guilty of, you would not have the ability to go. You're entitled by law to a defense. That's what our country's built on. You couldn't defend someone that you thought was guilty.
I don't know. I've always wondered about that. I don't know. I have friends who are attorneys who I've had this discussion with a lot, and it fascinates me how they're able to do that. And I've had an interesting discussion with people that don't want to know. They don't ask. And, like, they don't really ask.
Attorneys never ask.
I know, but I couldn't help it. I would want to know. You know, it's part of your makeup. I'm a reporter, you know. It's like, you know, I don't want to ask, but tell me, okay? Did you really do that? Did you stab him? Did you rob that? Did you take that?
Because if you asked that question,
you'd be disqualified.
Because
you'd be a bad attorney.
You could then be charged with suborning perjury by trying to get him off the charges.
I'd be a terrible attorney then because I don't know that I would do that. I'd be so conflicted.
You'd be like a corporate attorney. That'd be more you.
Okay. I don't know about if that make me that's more me or not.
Can you imagine if Lovie Smith,
Greg Hardy, Adrian Peterson, and
you have
Jameis Winston.
Snap to Jameis Winston, hands to Peterson, first down. And then Greg Hardy warming up on the sideline for when the Bucks go
this
back.
This drive
on defense.
Was set up with Greg Hardy smash the quarterback like he did his ex-wife.
Oh God.
I mean, really.
Brutal.
That's what I couldn't get out of my head.
Right.
Greg Hardy is back in the league, a free agent. I know he sat out a season, but what he did is
reprehensible.
It is reprehensible.
But he has the right to make a living.
He does. He does. And Lovie Smith is the guy who would want to save everybody.
Okay, I'm going to throw something in your wheelhouse, okay?
All right.
Let's assume that there is a columnist out there.
I'm not a corporate attorney anymore, right?
Correct.
Okay, that's good.
You're back as the
that
lead,
was boring anyway.
Lead columnist for the Tribune.
It's really boring.
Lead columnist for the Tribune.
Okay.
There is a columnist, not sports, there is a news columnist available who has made some serious mistakes, beat his wife, did whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The Tribune calls a meeting together of their top people. You're one of them. Mm-hmm. They said, we can get this writer. Yeah, he's got a lot of baggage, but trust us, he is so compelling, we're going to sell three times the number of newspapers, and this paper is going to be flush with cash in the face of the way the newspaper industry has gone. He will save the paper for us.
You don't have to go that far, because I don't think any columnist looks at anything worried about being flush with cash. We really don't look at things that way.
No, the paper itself will be so it'll be healthy.
He's
going to help our business.
I'd be more interested in the argument. If you're telling me that this guy would or woman would be good for a newsroom environment and would be very compelling to read.
And he's going to newspaper sales.
I don't really care about newspaper sales.
You better, because if they don't sell papers, you don't have a
paper
to write
for. I understand that,
for.
But it's not my job to care about newspaper sales. It's my job to be hopefully compelling, interesting, and give people a reason to read. I don't care about newspaper sales because I can't control that. I can control how interesting my columns are. That's all I can worry about. So if you're telling me that you're going to hire somebody that can write very interesting columns and control that aspect of their job, and they have a checkered past, much like a Greg Hardy.
But he's
much
more
like
than
Adrian
interesting
Peterson.
Columns. This writer is going to be huge for the Tribune.
I get it.
What are you going to say?
I'd want to meet him or her, I think, if before I would have passed
judgment.
Okay,
what if Greg Hardy's listening right now, yeah, and he says, hey, Ha, hold on a second. Yeah. Sit down with me and let me tell you my story and how much I've changed as a person, and you don't know all the facts of what happened.
Cap, it's a
hypothetical.
It's a very good question. And I'm not proud of the fact that I jumped to conclusions like I just jumped to by saying I wouldn't want Greg Hardy on my team. I wouldn't want Adrian Peterson on my team. I'm not necessarily proud of that, but I'm just telling you how I feel about it when I sit here and give you my first reaction. Now, that's why I think you have to respect the context of every situation being different, case-by-case basis. Adrian Peterson's different than Greg Hardy is different than Ray Rice is different than Jameis Winston. In each of those situations, ideally, in the columnist's hypothetical, you would want to sit down with that person, get a sense of who they are, and you'd want to sense some contrition. You'd want to sense some, they're taking responsibility for actions that they and mistakes they made. And you'd want to feel like they are going to be correcting those in the future. I can't say hard and fast, I would say absolutely no to every situation moving forward if somebody did X or Z, because I think every case is different.
Right.
So I totally danced around that.
Three you did.
I totally danced around that. I think that I would probably give them the benefit of the doubt, and I would hire that columnist to make the paper better, because I believe in good journalism, and if you can provide good journalism, come on down.
Greg Hardy can provide a hell of a pass rush.
But if the person you're describing also has, you know, hit his wife to that degree, and I don't think paid his punishment, I don't know, because it's very vague. So I can't really give you an answer.
9 a.m. hour, sponsored by the great people at Apt Electronics in Glenview. Check them out on the web at apt.com and head over there and ask for the one and only Steve Shapiro. So Jay Mariotti's not coming to the Tribune. 312-235-2525. Take a quick time out. It's hypothetical. We'll come right back.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Physical game last night with the Wizards and the Bulls. Those two teams don't like each other. Nene hitting on Noah going down the lane. Here's Tip.
What? Really? Mike just backed me up. My investigative reporter, Mike Jacobson.
First of all, so many great updates from this chair. You got to pick that one moment. That just seems really unfair.
I know. Brooke does have a lot of great updates.
Hey, 309 texts in.
Welcome back to Cap'n Haw.
The old man was right, meaning the caller that we...
From Roberts, Illinois.
Sort of dismissed, yeah. 309 says, the old man was right. Obviously, you guys were not team players in your youth. Derrick Rose is not the assist man that is needed. Rose plays out of control with reckless abandon. He has to be at the very top of his game for the Bulls to win. He can't shoot, period. Well, shooting has struggled, and he does need to be at the top of his game for the Bulls to be title contenders. But I will object 10 out of 10 times to the idea, the notion, that the Bulls are a better team without Derrick Rose than they are with him.
See last year's playoffs. They got smoked out of there. You need Derrick Rose.
And as exciting as last night was and as great as this week has been, they're still 3-2 without Derrick Rose.
And they are not going anywhere without him in terms of trying to win a title.
Right.
If he doesn't come back, they are done.
And when I asked, is it just me or do the Bulls seem to play harder without Derrick Rose, that wasn't an indictment of Rose. That was a recognition of the fact
that they realize.
I think they realize
we got to step it up,
something
boys.
Something clicks within each of those players, and I think that's good coaching to make it. What has Thibs said all week? It's a collective contribution that's going to take to replace him, not just one or two guys.
All right. Let's go to the phones, get these calls in before the great Eddie Olczyk joins us. Joe's in Hampton. Hey, Joe. What's going on there?
Hey, Joe.
Buddy, how's life treating you? Sparkles?
Good. Hey, Cat. Hey, Hug. I'm sorry I had to do it.
That's all right.
You got it.
No problem, Jim. Cap,
Mark, how you guys doing? I just wanted to say, after seeing what Tom Thibodeau has done, not only in the last two games, but in the last 3 years. I mean, I challenge any coach in the NBA to do what he's done with the little that he's had.
I think that you're right. And I think that when you talk about how many coaches could have done this, thanks to the phone call, Joe, I don't know it, that this is what your typical expectations would be for any ordinary NBA coach. Tom Thibodeau's exceptional at making do with what he has because he's had so much practice doing it.
Correct.
It's sort of the new – it is
the new normal.
The new normal. It's what you've done out of necessity, but it's become kind of the job description.
Let's go back to the phones. Jackson is in Rockford. What's going on there, Brown?
Hey, Jackson.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Cap, Hog, and Mark. Hey, I got a question about two questions, actually. First one's about Nikola Mirotic.
Yep.
I want to know how high you think the ceiling is for Nico in this league. And the next question I want to know is, down the stretch, who do you think is going to be the key member of the Bulls?
Very good questions, Jackson. How high is the ceiling for Mirotic?
I would say he has a very high ceiling. He's never going to be Dirk Nowitzki. He's not that level, but he's going to be a really important piece.
I think when you talk about Dirk Nowitzki, you're talking about a Hall of Famer. Do you sit here and watch what Nikola has done and say this is a guy that you could envision going to the Hall of Fame? That would be, I think, exaggeration. I think you'd get a little carried away. Can he be an All-Star, Cap? I think he can be. I think he's probably – you know, you hate to compare European-type players like that, but is he a better version of Tony Kukoc?
He's never going to have the ball skills, put the ball on the deck, be a point guard at 6'11" like Tony.
I don't disagree that Kukoc was probably a better natural passer, but Cap, last night already –
I think Nico's a better shooter.
He's a better shooter, and that's going to create opportunities for him off the dribble. What you saw last night, he took the ball to the hole, finished with the left hand off the glass, nice touch. And he's a rookie, and he's what, 23 years old? I could see his game evolving to the point where he is dangerous creating his own shot in ways that he hasn't necessarily had to do yet because he's got other players on this team.
If he improves at the rate that he improved from the beginning of the season to now, he mm-hmm. will be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, this is a huge jump. He was awful for
Is he an 18-10 guy?
He could be.
Is he
18-10? I think he could.
Is he an all-star? I think he's a potential all-star.
He's got a shot at it. And I was down on him, just for the record. I want to throw myself under the bus. I thought that this guy was
after
soft.
After you saw him?
Yeah, after
I saw.
After.
Yeah.
Soft, didn't know what he was doing, didn't think he had a great feel, and all of a sudden he's got an opportunity, more minutes, and he's running with it. You got
to give him
credit.
I was always excited about seeing him play because going back to when they drafted him and seeing the footage like everybody else of him playing over for Real Madrid and seeing just the innate sense of where to be, who needs the ball. And, you know, Cap, I don't know that his ball skills are as bad as maybe you're suggesting.
Well, no, I'm not saying they're bad. Yeah. Tony was elite.
Yeah, but
Tony
I think
could handle the ball like a point guard.
Don't you? Yeah, ball handling, I think you're probably right there. But aren't you impressed by the way that Mirotic sees the floor and understands spacing and understands kind of the right place to be?
Very solid player.
And he's been a bigger surprise to me because I thought that Mirotic was going to be – I'm sorry, McDermott was going to be the rookie that had the most impact, and he hasn't been. And McDermott looked a little lost at times last night. And those minutes went to Etuan Moore.
When's the next time that guy's going to score? It's five games now. He's 0 for his last nine. Every time. I think there should be a Doug McDermott actually makes a basket watch. It's a rough go for McDermott right now.
They went smaller last night. I mean, you couldn't blame him.
0 for 3 last night. He was 0 for 5 the game before.
There was an air ball, too, in there. That was bad.
He's struggling.
He looked really shaky, and he looked like he's sort of tentative, lacking confidence, like you expect a rookie to look.
This is worse.
Let's take another Etuan Moore call, can we, real quick?
Yeah, let's go to the region again.
All right. Let's go to, Al?
Al.
Al's talking Etuan Moore. What's
up,
Al?
How you doing, bud?
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Good.
Boiler up.
Hey, just want to say that Etuan Moore, he's the final nail in this Thibodeau argument, okay? He's the final nail in the coffin for this Thibodeau argument. Garpax has won that argument. With the play of Etuan Moore, Snell, and Mirotic, who was tied to the bench most of the year, you're telling me that these guys wasn't worthy of spelling Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler 5 minutes while you're playing them 40 minutes a game, okay? That's why they didn't go out and sign anybody when these injuries was occurring, okay? They forced Thibodeau to play who they already provided.
Well, hold on a second.
Now
Al, let me interrupt you. Do you not believe that Tom Thibodeau knows the NBA game? Do you believe that?
I don't believe that Tom Thibodeau is – he's not even – as far as X's and O's goes – he's not even in the top 15.
Oh,
okay, Al. Now you're insane.
I had no idea you're going this direction.
That is one of the most foolish comments.
Let me give you an example.
He forced Etuan Moore to improve and get better, and so when he got his chance, he plays well. And most people say, "Boy, Tom, you knew what you were doing." And people like you, not a top 15, will talk to guys that coach against him. They think he's top two in the NBA.
Absolutely. Come on, Al.
Can I give you an example?
Go ahead.
One example? Okay. Derrick Rose. Let's look at Derrick Rose's struggles this year, okay? We know he had, you know, a little knee problem, a little pain or whatever, right? But if you actually watch the games and if you understand the X's and O's of the game, Tom Thibodeau, when each one, okay, Tony Snell, Nikola Mrotic. Mrotic is the only stretch four on the roster, okay? He had his best shooters, Snell, and Mrotic, and what's the other guard name? Help me out real quick.
Mirotić and Aaron Brooks.
Brooks, right. Those are your floor spacers, okay? For most of the games this year, Thibodeau had them boys nailed to the bench. So Derrick Rose, what did he do? And when you have your floor space, guess what the other team going to do? They're going to pack the paint. So what did Rose do? He got two choices. To go in there and try to create a crease like he did his first 2 years, which led to his injuries, or jack up a bunch of outside shots. Especially
all right, Al,
when he has nobody else.
I respect your opinion,
that's
but I just don't.
X's and O's.
Thanks for making the point. I just don't agree with you.
Completely disagree with you, Al. 1,000%.
Spacing the floor is certainly something every coach tries to do, but you cannot convince me that Tom Thibodeau is in the bottom half of the league when it comes to X's and O's.
Do you disagree with the Mrotić part? Mrotić.
Mrotić. All right.
I love Mrotić.
Get the ultimate experience of the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV at Aptiv Glenview. Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD. You get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come into Apt ABT today. See the complete selection of Samsung electronics or call them up at 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, and a better experience, shop Apt ABT. Apt.com, the website, asks for the great Stephen Shapiro. Pleasing people since 1936.
Can we switch to hockey and talk about that Hossa guy?
Yeah, absolutely. No question. We can do that in Desjardins.
Yeah. Desjardins.
Instead of Desjardins. Okay. We'll take fast time out. We'll get an update with Mark. We'll talk to Edzo and go back to these calls. It's all coming up on Cap'n Hawk.